Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart. I'm going to be reading this afternoon from Jeremiah chapter 7, and also from Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 through 30. But we will begin this afternoon with a discussion of Jeremiah's temple message. And let me also say that if you want to know what a society, what a nation looks like without the Word of God, please read the book of Jeremiah. Because the book of Jeremiah is a very powerful statement of the redemptive plan of God. And yet, we have the rejection of the Word of God by the people of God. Please remember that in 722 BC, the northern kingdom of Israel had been destroyed by the Assyrians, and they had been taken into captivity. And a few hundred years later or so, the kingdom of Judah would also go into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar. But the people of God had the opportunity to avoid going into the Babylonian captivity. God had made opportunity for them to hear His word and to obey His word. But what we read in Jeremiah is a refusal on the part of the people of God to submit to His word. And so Jeremiah is commanded by God to go to the temple where God's people are, please note, are gathered there for worship. Jeremiah is to go to the temple, and there at the gate of the Lord's house, he is to preach the word of God to the worshipers. Isn't that interesting? And so Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 1 reads, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord." Literally it should read, "This is the word that happened to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord." That is Shema the Debar Yahweh. Hear. And so the verb is placed at the beginning of the sentence by the writer to show the emphasis and that what God wants His people to understand, so, which is reminiscent of Deuteronomy 6:4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say..." Now here's their false theology. "This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." This was their false theology. The prophet was to attack and dismantle this lie. Most certainly, at this point, the people of God were the people of the lie. Verse 5, if you really change your ways and your actions, notice, if you change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your forefathers forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. The language is very powerful. God has called his people to action. And notice, they're at the temple to worship, but God talks about what they have been doing, what they are doing. And so they are truly not worshiping God. They are trusting in a theological lie. But God sees their actions. He knows their way. As in Revelation chapter 1, we have Jesus in his high priestly garb, and he says to each church in Asia Minor, I know your works, oida. In the Greek, I know absolutely your works. And so here, God absolutely knows what is going on in the lives of his people. Verse 9, will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which bears my name? Now notice, this is Jeremiah's temple sermon. And say, we are safe, safe to do all these detestable things. You see, their theology had a false premise, and therefore, when one begins with a false premise, one will have a false conclusion. We are safe, safe to do all these detestable things. Has this house, which bears my name, become a den of robbers to you? What does that remind you of in the New Testament? But I have been watching, declares the Lord. I have been watching. The language is very powerful. And so as we go down, the Lord says to Jeremiah, so do not pray for this people, nor offer a plea or petition for them. Do not plead with me. In other words, do not intercede, for I will not listen to you. Do you not see what they are doing in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers light the fire, and the women knead the dough and make cakes of bread for the Queen of Heaven. They pour out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger. But I am the one they are provoking, declares the Lord. Are they not rather harming themselves to their own shame? Herein is the folly of false worship. Those who engage in false worship harm themselves. And notice the language, to their own shame. And we go down in chapter 7, beginning at verse 27, we read, when you tell them all this, they will not listen to you. When you call to them, they will not answer. Therefore say to them, this is the nation that has not obeyed the Lord its God or responded to correction. Truth has perished. No matter what their theologians say, no matter what their priests say, no matter what form of liturgy or what form of worship they have, it is mere outward formalism because there is no inward reality. Cut off your hair and throw it away. Take up a lament, and this is God's instruction to the prophet. Take up a lament on the barren heights, for the Lord has rejected and abandoned this generation that is under his wrath. And so therefore the people are left forlorn. Now, the language is severe, and God's rod of correction for his people waywardness and their sin will be Nebuchadnezzar. They will believe to the end, as in the pre-flood people believe, that nothing will happen. As those of Sodom and Gomorrah believe, nothing will happen. As those in the northern kingdom believe, nothing will happen. And Jesus even said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. People will continue their practices. They will remain in stasis, which is very unfortunate, because God today, right now, is still seeking those who will come to him through Christ Jesus. Now, I want to say to you who are listening, if your hearts are burdened with sin, if you are wallowing or wrestling with unforgiveness, if you are being tortured by lack of self-forgiveness, you need to take that burden to the Lord. If you are weighed down by bitterness, resentment, if you are imprisoned by anger, you are the prisoner of doubt, if you have been claimed by fear, you need to take that to the Lord. These are heavy burdens that we cannot bear. And we spend our times trying to find a way out of these problems, and we have no way out. Drugs will not help you. Alcohol will not help you. An affair, an illicit affair, an adulterous affair will not help you. Fornication or many lovers will not help you. You will only harm yourself. Please come to Jesus and allow Jesus to give you a brand new life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it in superabundance. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will rest you. If your burdens are too heavy to bear, you need to come to Jesus. Come and confess what is going on with you. If you need salvation, please know that Jesus shed his blood for you on Calvary, and that he died and he rose again the third day so that you might be justified by faith in him. You no longer have to be imprisoned by the lies you have told yourself or the lies that the enemy has imposed upon your life. You can be set free at this moment in your own heart if you would get down upon your knees and cry out to the Lord for his salvation. Go to him. Surrender to Jesus. And I know he will give you a brand new life. And I know that if you really believe that Jesus died for you, was buried and rose again, you believe in him, the Holy Spirit will wash you, will make you clean, and you will stand up in newness of life if you come to God right now. Jesus is our only hope. And I pray that many of you will come to God this day at this moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your salvation and your Son. Thank you for what he has provided for us, Lord, through his shed blood. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.